Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Three Days with Murph. On the show today, we've got a really special treat for y'all. Super talented singer-songwriter and just one heck of a fiddle player, the lovely Nedley Stovall stops by the show today. We'll talk with Nedley about her career, music, and anything she's working on that she can talk about. And as usual, I have my buddy Craig with me.
Hey, Cody. How you doing today?
I'm a little nervous, but I'm good. I think this will go extremely well. So I think with that, let's welcome the incredibly talented Miss Nedley Stovall to the show. Is this Nedley?
Hello. It is.
Hey, Nedley, how are you?
Hello, Nedley.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Like I told Craig, I'm a little nervous, but I'm doing all right now.
Well, thanks for playing my music. I heard Heartbreak playing.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for doing this today. I mean, I wanted you on the show for a long time, so I'm glad we could finally make this work.
Well, I'm glad that we were able to make this work too. I'm taking a little break from songwriting right now and just chatting with you. It's awesome.
Yes. I'm full of it, Natalie. Trust me.
Oh, good.
So, how have you been?
Well, I've been really good. You know, things have been, I've been on a little bit of a roller coaster lately with being on The Voice and being on the road and doing all the things that, you know, just trying to keep everything in motion. But it's really been amazing. I mean, this journey to start, you know, when we decided to go on the, when we made the decision for me to try out for The Voice, you know, I was talking about being nervous. I was nervous about that, and I had no idea what that experience would be like because, you know, I've been on the road for 10 years now and just making my own music and making my own luck. And this kind of puts it into the hands of other people, but it has been such an incredible journey. And I have been so thankful for every moment that I've had, and getting to work with Blake Shelton was pretty incredible.
You know, and speaking for myself, I was so bummed when you I lost that battle. I was so bummed.
I was too. It was so funny because, you know,
first,
they,
Natalie,
they
I don't dispute it. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You first.
Oh, no, you're fine. It's so funny. I didn't realize the way that it was going to work, but it's like when you get, they just kind of tell you when you're going to go. And man, by the time we went, all the steals were gone. And so I just didn't even have a chance at that point. That if he had chosen Adam, which Adam is such an incredible singer, you know, that I would have gotten stolen. And it was a bummer to hear every single coach say, oh my gosh, if I had had a steal left, I would have stolen you. And, you know, that really meant a lot to me because I felt like I gave everything I could with that battle and I wouldn't change a thing about it. Even still, even going back and listening to it and watching it, I don't feel like there's anything I would do differently. And that's a good feeling to have. You know, it's like then that means that it was completely out of my hands and I'm just thankful for the opportunity.
Well, I have to say that I, for one, am so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I was just ecstatic to see you with The Voice. Natalie, I would have loved to have seen your blind audition this entirely, but again, that was, I guess, out of your control.
It was. I would have loved to have seen it, too. It's so crazy the way that works. But again, with the blinds, you know, I didn't go until the very end of the blind audition process, which is another thing that, you know, you don't have any control over. So the teams were almost full. And so I'm not even sure if any of the teams were full by the time I auditioned, but you know, they were being very, very picky at that point because they already had almost all the types of singers they needed. And so, you know, getting Blake to turn around was such a huge win because that's all I wanted. I mean, I really, the whole time I said, I want to be on Blake's team. And it would have been an honor to work with any of the coaches, but I'm a country girl from Nashville. Of course I wanted to work with Blake Shelton. So I was just very thankful that that happened, but it was kind of a bummer that we didn't get to see it.
Well, at least we did see a glimpse of you working, being coached by both Blake and Rascal Flatts, whom you had performed with previously.
Yeah, that was really cool. And they keep, you know, they keep our mentors a surprise. We don't know who they're going to be. And so when we walked in and saw Rascal Flatts, I got so excited. And I didn't expect them to remember me, but they totally did, which was awesome. And then yeah, that was cool because I went to an event the other night in Nashville and I ran into Joe Don Rooney from Rascal Flatts and it was cool to get to see him again after just having worked with him and he, you know, we got to chat about it a little bit.
That's cool. And now we have something in common, Natalie.
What is that?
We're both native Tennesseans. We're both native Tennesseans.
Where are you from?
I'm from West Tennessee, about 3 hours west of Nashville.
Cool.
So,
that's awesome. I grew up an hour south of Nashville, so.
That's awesome. I have family that lives in Nashville. They lived there about 20-something years, and and I go pretty much every chance I get.
Oh,
and Nashville
that's awesome.
Is like,
I know. Nashville's such a great town.
I tend to call Nashville my second home.
Natalie,
oh, that's awesome.
If I could transfer my job to where I'm in, to Nashville, I would move to Nashville right now.
Well,
I agree completely.
I would encourage you to.
I
love it
completely.
There.
But the thing I love about Nashville is there's so many just incredibly talented people. I mean, you know.
There really are. I mean, the bar is raised so high in Nashville. I mean, it's amazing that you can go in any bar or club in Nashville in the middle of the day, and you're going to see some of the most talented entertainers and performers that you've ever seen before. It's pretty incredible.
Right. And speaking of incredibly talented artists, you, my friend, can absolutely tear up a fiddle. Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you. I've been doing it a long time, so.
I wanted to ask, you played for president. You've played for Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
You've done several USO tours. And you made your Grand Ole Opry debut at the ripe old age of 12.
Uh-huh.
What's next for you? What's next for you? I mean,
you know, next is getting a number one song. That's something I've never achieved and that I'm working very hard on. And you know, I've been working on new music, and I even started going back into the studio before I even went out to LA to begin the whole process of The Voice. And so I'm really excited and proud of the new music that I've been making with my guys. And, you know, I feel like this is the best music that we've ever made before. And you kind of hope that you always feel that way as an artist and that you're always evolving and bettering yourself and getting better at your craft. But I'm really so proud of it. And kind of as things start to wrap up with The Voice and, you know, as the show is coming to a close, I'm going to be able to release some new music out there to everybody. And I'm so excited to share this with people. We're going to release a single as soon as we can, and I wish I could reveal when it's going to be, but I can't say that, but it is going to be very soon, I can promise you that.
Do you see a big release before the end of this year or early 2018?
I think so, yeah. So I think it will be.
And I think you already know this, but whenever that new music's ready, I'll be more than happy to play it on the show.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, we'll make sure that you're one of the first people to hear the song and have it in your hands so that you can play it for
awesome.
Everybody. I would love that.
I appreciate that. You know,
Natalie, let me ask you. You said you had learned a lot in the last few years developing as a singer, songwriter, musician. Can you, would you be able to say off the top of your head what you feel you've learned, one thing you've learned as a singer-songwriter?
Well, I'm constantly learning the lesson of perseverance and not giving up, I'll tell you that. But, you know, working on The Voice was actually, it was really cool because I got to work with a vocal instructor, and I haven't really done that since college. I mean, I haven't really taken the time to study and really dig in on technique in my voice in a long time. And it's something that I love to do, but you know, when you play 200 shows a year, you pretty much just play shows all the time and you don't have time to practice. I mean, your practice is your performing. So that was something for me that was just a very unique experience. And I don't know when else in life I would have gotten that kind of experience of working with one of the most seasoned vocal coaches that exists. You know, I mean, she's one of the top-notch people in LA, and that was a really, really fun thing for me. And I feel like, you know, very much over the last few months, I have become a stronger and more dynamic singer.
Oh, wow. Ed, do you feel that your vocal cords are, based on what you've learned from her, do you feel it evolving on a daily basis every time you go into the studio?
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, you kind of take everything that you learn in a very super focused and very, you know, unrealistic kind of situation. Because, I mean, you know, we really did get to spend every single day at The Voice working on music. And I was there for 3 months. And I would spend my day planning my days around practice time. And I'd do multiple practice sessions. And then everything else would be, you know, whatever rehearsals or photo shoots or things that we had scheduled. But now that I'm able to take what I learned and apply it on the road, you know, in my own shows and even in the studio and things, it's been cool because I've surprised myself a few times and noticed that I'm approaching things differently. And I don't know if anybody else would notice, but I notice because I work with my voice every day, you know. And so for me, I see the ways that I'm kind of manipulating things and doing things a little differently, and it's just really fun.
The most important thing is that you enjoy what you do, and that also encourages you to, as you said, have perseverance and keep at it until you get better and better, and you keep striving
Absolutely.
Every day to get better.
Absolutely, yeah.
And one thing I wanted to ask, and this is going back to what you said about the new music coming soon. First of all, I'm a big fan of artist interviews. I'll watch, read, or listen to any artist interviews I can possibly get my hands on, because I think it makes me better at what I do. But I was watching CMT's Cody Allen interview Kip Moore one time, and he asked this question, and I'll ask you. As an artist, is there pressure to kind of, I don't know, outdo yourself music wise with everything that you put out?
Yes, absolutely. There's always pressure to outdo yourself. And I think that comes with any artistic endeavor. You really want to push yourself to be better than you were the last time. You know, I mean, I'm actually in Atlanta right now writing with Sweet Christian Bush from Sugarland, and we're working on some new music, and I've gotten the chance to write with him a few times, and it's so fun every time I get with him, because I do feel like I'm so much better than I was the last time I wrote with him. But then I see how good he is and how long he's been doing it and how quick he is on his feet. And I strive to be there, and I strive to make myself a better writer. And one of the best ways you can do that is by surrounding yourself with people who are, you know, pushing you and better than you in a lot of ways, and are able to kind of do things that you can't quite do yet. And I see him, just his brain works so quickly, and it's so fascinating. And so, you know, every single project I'm pushing myself, and even with the band too, you know, I see what we've been doing in the studio and the way that the guys are pushing themselves with their instruments and trying to make sure that they're creating sounds that, I mean, Joel and I were talking the other night in the van on the way home from a gig, and he was talking about, you know, his pedal board set up and how he's trying to do different things so that the sound of the new show, once we get all the new music worked in, it'll sound different. And those are conversations that we constantly have as artists. We're just trying to continually see how we can top ourselves. And that's just, I think that comes with being being ambitious and not quite being where you want to be yet. It's like I've had so much success and so many great opportunities in this life, but there's still a lot that I want to achieve as an artist, and I want to be selling out stadiums, and I'm not there yet, but I'm working as hard as I can to get there.
You know, and that sort of leads me to this next question. Again, back on the artist interview thing, Dan Rather, who is just a great interviewer in and of himself, mm-hmm. asked this question to Kid Rock one time, and I just thought it was the greatest question ever. But when everything's said and done with your career and you won CMA award after CMA award, which is going to happen for you, there's not a doubt in my mind, and you've sold out stadium after stadium, what's the one thing that you want to be remembered for as an artist?
Oh, wow. Good Lord. That is a good question. What is the one thing I want to be remembered for as an artist? You know, I want to make music that makes people feel better, that stays with people and makes people feel like they're, you know, that they identify with what I'm talking about because it's part of their life too. I mean, that's one of the biggest gifts that you have as a musician is being able to write music that can either change people's lives. And I've already been told that songs of mine have done that and have, you know, empowered people or influenced them to start playing the fiddle or start singing in a band or whatever. But music that just moves people, that's what I want, because that is a legacy. I mean, that's something that you can leave behind, and it will, if it's good enough, if it's great, then it will stick around way beyond your own lifetime. And so that is something that I strive to do, and I don't do it, you know, I don't think about that when I'm writing music, but I just try to write the best music possible, and then I hope that it will, you know, that it will resonate with people.
Right. And I mean, and I get that because I'm the same way. A little story for you. I started this a radio show 5 years ago on a whim. I have no formal radio training whatsoever. So I'm literally learning as I go, but, beyond this radio show and whatever it does, whether we get to the level of a Bobby Bones or whatever, beyond that, I just want to be thought of as just a good dude, you know, as somebody that that when they look at me, they go, you know what? He's a good dude. He was there for me when I needed him. So I mean, and I hope that with this radio show that that comes across to you guys.
Absolutely. Well, and that's, you know, and that's kind of what I think about too with music is it's like you just hope that you're there for people when they need you. And that's the power of music. That's the power of having a microphone, whether it's a radio show or a musician, you know, it's pretty amazing.
And I've said this from day one and I'll keep saying it, but this show is never about me.
Right.
It's about you guys.
Right.
I want to spotlight some incredibly talented people, and this show can be a stepping stone to that next thing, that next gig or that next interview, whatever it is. I've more than done my job.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and I thank you for that. I mean, I appreciate you so much having me on the show, and especially while I'm kind of in between things and writing music and I haven't even released a new one yet, but it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and it's so cool to, you know, to have people that want to spread the word. That's what it's all about. Everybody tells their other friends, and that's how your music gets known.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Natalie, last year, I know you outside of Nashville, I haven't seen you perform. And then when I heard about you, Ruthie, and Kelly performing together, I said, I have to see them because when I met you in Nashville, you were fantastic at Third and Lindsay when you performed other artists. And I said, I have to fly to see you. And the three of you put on such an incredible show, and I got to speak to all three of you afterwards. It was one of the best experiences of 2016 that I had.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Well, thank you for coming. That's so cool. I love that story.
Thank you. And since then, I've supported you, Ruth and Kelly, more than ever. And so when I heard that this interview was scheduled, I've been counting the seconds down till we had this interview. And this today, too,
Yay!
Is going to be and go. It's going to help ring end 2017 with a real mason jar bang.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've got some kind of a kind of fun, kind of quirky questions if you're okay with it.
Okay.
Okay. If you weren't a singer or in the entertainment industry at all, what would you be doing right now?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even think I have an answer to that question because all I've done my whole life is music. I started playing fiddle when I was 4 and went on the road. I mean, I had a phase when I was a kid where I thought maybe I would be a psychologist for a hot minute, but I was still playing music and performing professionally even at 10 years old. So that whole psychologist thing kind of went out the window, I think, within a day.
Okay. This is always a fun one. And I've asked it in pretty much every interview I've ever done, but you're stranded on a deserted island and can only have 3 items with you. What are you taking?
Oh, God. All right. Well, I'm going to take the first Outlander book. I'm going to take, oof. Can I take an iPod just filled with all of my favorite music?
It's
and then, because I can't pick one CD. So an iPod, a book, and I'd probably have to take sunscreen because I would burn up if I was on a desert island. It would be like 2 minutes, and then my whole body would be like, nope, you just poof are gone because you burn so easily.
Wow. I'm glad you said that about not being able to pick just one CD I'd listen to or whatever, you know. Speaking of that, what are you currently listening to music-wise?
Oh, my gosh, there's so much good music out right now. Well, Ruthie Collins just put an album out, so that's on repeat right now in my life. That Get Drunk and Cry record is unbelievable, and so is the visual album. And I love Cam's new single, Diane. That is so cool. I've been also listening to the Kesha record, and I just started listening to the new Kelly Clarkson record, too, which was really fun, but my other favorite record at the moment that just came out is Travis Meadows. He just released an album and it's unbelievable. And I can't stop. It inspires me and makes me cry and gives me all of the feels.
I think you're the first guest.
Cody, I'm sorry. I wanted to ask
all of
Natalie, I'm sorry for jumping in. You had talked about selling out stadiums. And that brings me to 2 questions. One, the experience that you had at CMA Fest when you did perform on the big stage, SN Amphitheater, and it was that Friday night of the CMA Fest week where you, Natalie, and Kelly performed together. It was on a special Diva night where you performed right after Daniel Bradbury and before Kelly Fuller and Sarah Evans. How was that experience like?
Oh, that was so cool. And it was so cool to be there with Danielle and Kelly and Sarah. We've all performed with all of them before, so it was really fun backstage seeing everybody and getting to do a show like that, that is such a big show and such a fun show, but with my girls, that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, I got to be up there with 2 of my best friends, and so that was really a joyful evening, and I've seen so many people posting pictures and videos from that night. I mean, people are still posting pictures from that evening and reminding me of how fun that night was.
During CMA, that was the perfect time to do it when everyone globally who loved country music was there to see it, who didn't have a chance to go into Nissan Stadium to see those shows. So
yeah,
for them
yeah.
to give them the opportunity was such a treat because from having seen you in Chicago, I know that the three of you charmed the hell out of the audience.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It was so fun.
Cody, before you ask the next question, I wanted to ask her about Bobby Bones. More specifically, how did you, how did it work out that you got to perform with the Raging Idiots backup band, you and Lindsay?
How was what? Getting to perform with Bobby Bones?
How did it work out where you got to be in Bobby's backup band?
Oh, well, you know, when Lindsay got the Next Women, the CMT Next Women tour, she wasn't able to do any more of, you know, she had to kind of step down from the Raging Idiots shows. And so she actually, she and Bobby talked about it, and I think she recommended me. And and so we all met up and talked about it. And Bobby and I had known each other a little bit, but not really. And so, you know, I learned a bunch of songs and came in. And then after the first show, he was like, all right, come on. You're doing all the shows now. So that's been really, really fun.
Nice. I think in the history of the show, you're the first guest to ever use the phrase all the fills.
Oh, that's funny. Well, that's that social media lingo. I see all of my girls online using that one, so I have to
right.
to quote them all
right.
the feels.
Professionally speaking, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you?
Ooh, well, signing a record deal. That was a pretty incredible professional career highlight, and getting to release a song to country music radio and having our debut single actually break the top 40 was pretty amazing. And then also, I mean, getting asked by Charlie Daniels to play with him and playing at the 40th annual Volunteer Jam, getting to play Devil Went Down to Georgia with him was pretty incredible.
I think you also covered that song when you were in Three Girls in a Bar Band. I remember you playing. That was splendid. I was sitting at a table.
You.
If there was more room, I would have been doing some dancing that I never thought I could do before.
Oh my goodness, I love that so much. Yeah, I have. You know what? I've closed almost every show of my life with that song, and so getting that phone call from Charlie was pretty unreal. And you know, and we had so much fun playing that song together, and that still will forever be one of my biggest highlights and favorite moments, because it just doesn't get better than that. But
A couple more questions for you, then I think we're going to kind of wrap things up. But
awesome.
As a creative person, which I know you obviously are, what inspires or motivates you?
Oh, other music for sure. Other music is one of the things that keeps me going. And, you know, I go in and out of lulls of feeling like I'm inspired as a writer and feeling like I'm inspired even playing music sometimes. I mean, when things get hard and when life is happening around you, I mean, sometimes it has to do with career and sometimes it has to do with personal life. But those things can, you know, sometimes you can kind of be in a down spot, and listening to music is one of the things that always pulls me out of it. And then also, I have an incredible supportive friend group, and you know, I've got a lot of great girlfriends in Nashville, and even my band, my guys. I mean, I've got a band of brothers that just keep me going. And so between my band and my family and my close girlfriends, it's like I'm so fortunate to be surrounded with so many loving and caring people. And you know, we all have to support each other. We all hold each other up in those moments where it gets tough.
And
to have some, I think Natalie and you went to school together. I mean, Ruthie went to school together. I think that's how you met.
That's how we met. She was dating my keyboard player, and I met her that way.
Nice. You know, and I'll be honest with you. I've been doing this show for a long time, and I've gotten the opportunity to talk with some incredible country artists. I think country music, everybody in the country music world is just so genuine and just so approachable, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's something that I'm so proud of in country music is how, you know, how wonderful everybody is.
I agree.
I mean, I can see the same with you, Natalie. You are so approachable. That's why, you know, having met you, I went up to you. It was so easy for me to just approach you on a Sunday morning at CMA Fest and be able to get on the line to get to see you before the line grew so much and be able to take a quick picture and give you a hug and saying how much I appreciate you as a musician and a person.
Well, you know, I love what I do, and I love people. I love meeting people, and so it makes my job very easy.
And people see that, and that's why they appreciate you even more.
Well, thank you. That's awesome.
Thank
you. This is probably my last question for you. I don't know if Craig has got anything, but
I have one last, but I'll wait till you do.
Okay. These days, it seems like pretty much everybody's on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is basically just taking over our lives at this point. So do you think it's easier now for people to be noticed by not just the music industry, but the entertainment industry as a whole than it was, say 20 years ago when social media didn't exist?
You know, I think that it has pros and cons. I think in a lot of ways it does help, and it gives people who maybe wouldn't have had the opportunity to be in Nashville if they want to be in country music, or in LA if they want to be a pop star, it gives them the chance to be heard. I think the part that's hard is that everybody wants to be heard, and so it creates a little bit of white noise, and it's a lot harder to find the quality because there is so much quantity. But I think one of the things that social media does the best at is allowing those of us that do have a fan base to keep in touch with people and to share our experiences on the road, not only with the fans, but behind the scenes. And, you know, that's something that I don't know how it would have been so much harder to keep in touch with everybody if it was back pre-social media, you know. And I did tour pre-social media, but not, I mean, most of my life has been spent while the social media world has been booming. So I'm thankful that I've been in a time where technology actually enhances the experience for both the artists and the fans.
Right. I mean, and like you, I've grown up with social media basically my entire life. Speaking for the show in particular, social media is just, I mean, it's been one of the best things to ever happen to us.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. It's amazing.
Yeah. All right, Craig, what was your question, buddy?
Okay, a question and a comment. First, the question. If you had to do a Crossroads with any artist, who would that artist be? And what CMT Crossroads would you like to see two pair up?
Ooh, that's a good one. I have so many people on my list. Kind of bummed when I saw that Steven Tyler and Carrie Underwood did one, because I always wanted to do one with Steven Tyler. I grew up obsessing over Aerosmith. And if I could choose anyone dead or alive, I would have said Michael Jackson, because that would have been amazing to get to sing with him. And then, man,
you two would have had some chemistry.
I would have loved that. And then to see anybody else get to pair up, oh my gosh! You know what I would love to see? Ruthie Collins and Emmylou Harris. That would be amazing.
Oh my god, Ruthie
that would be incredible.
Tweets
on
social media
that
how much
so
she
good.
Loves Emmy.
I know she does love Emmylou Harris, and so we need to make
totally
that happen.
Well, that would
That'd
be just
pretty cool.
So good.
Can I say who I wanted to see together on CME Crossroads? You're going to get a kick out of this.
What?
Bobby Bones and Weird Al Yankovic.
That would be would be a great
wow.
one. That is
yes,
awesome.
That would be epic. That would be
that
epic.
Would be perfect.
Oh, wow.
I would love that.
Hey, thank you for taking over 30 minutes out of what I know is a crazy busy schedule to come on and do this with us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. I'm going to run back in here and finish the song that we're working on. And but I appreciate you guys talking to me and promoting my music and getting it out there into the world. We need more of you guys.
Any way that we can help you, Natalie?
Well, thank you. I will send you the new music as soon as it comes out.
Terrific.
Awesome.
One last
and,
comment, Cody.
Okay.
Tiffany Ashton of an artist in North Carolina who said she met you and is a big fan of you wanted me to tell you to give a quick hello from North Carolina.
Oh, that's awesome. She's a sweetheart. Well, say hi back if you see her again.
I will.
I just got to say, Natalie, after 40 minutes of talking to you and following your career for a couple of years, this interview completely exceeded my expectations. You are such a sweetheart, and I have so much respect for you as both an artist and a person.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Natalie, you were both a little nervous since this interview was booked, and I knew in my heart that as the interview progressed, Cody, the interview would become more comfortable and it would be simply just like a regular conversation. And thank God that it's reached that point.
Well, it absolutely has been. You guys are fantastic. And Cody and Craig, both of you, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Natalie.
I'm going to be honest with you, Natalie. When I got the confirmation email of this interview, I sit there staring at it going, I am not okay right now. I am not okay.
Well, you are okay, and you did a fantastic job, so thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm okay, Natalie, barely.
Y'all are funny.
I'm gonna let you go, but before I do, like Craig said, if there's ever anything that you ever need from us, I don't ever hesitate to reach out.
Well, thank you. I will not.
I'll let you go, and I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Y'all have a good rest of your day.
You too. Have a good evening, Natalie.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'm still not believing that just happened.
Yes. I'm slowly coming out of the coma now.
She is, oh my gosh, she is incredible.
Wow, she is just as super as she is in person. Really genuine. I'm really rooting for her.
I mean, you both. Okay. Focus, Murph. Focus. what's coming up? What's coming up next week, buddy?
Okay, we will be back to having a very busy week. Next Monday, we have super singer-songwriter Kayla Woodson, who's done a bunch of 10-minute tunes on Ty Kelly and Chuck. Then we have Tiffany Ashton, who was just mentioned before, from North Carolina. And then next Wednesday, we will have Emily Miner, who sings often in Nashville at Puckett's.
Yep. I think I'm gonna let you go before a Blog Talk Radio forcibly removes from the network. Okay, buddy.
All right, Cody. Happy Halloween. Talk to you next week.
All right, I'll talk to you Monday, dude.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye bye.
Hope you guys enjoyed our interview with just the lovely Natalie Stovall. As Craig mentioned, Monday, let me see, as Craig mentioned, yeah, Monday at 4:30 Central, we have the super talented Akela Woodson joining us that Tuesday. We have the lovely Tiffany Ashton, and Wednesday we have the next Wednesday we have the super talented Miss Emily Minor. So I think with that being said, I think I'm gonna end the episode right here. You've been listening to Break Days with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.